As we hear God's message, let us pray. In the quietness, let us reflect on our lives and on our particular need this morning, or a need that we are aware of for someone else. Living God, refresh our lives with the living streams of your truth. Speak to our need and make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme of my sermon this morning is on the subject of prayer. Prayer is rather like taking exercise. You see other people doing it. You know you need to do it. You might want to do it. And you may feel guilty knowing that you could do more of it than you do. Maybe you need someone to get alongside you and stick with you, like a personal trainer. Someone to learn from, to aspire to. Well, I want you to be encouraged this morning because Jesus gets alongside you in prayer. And we see it here in John chapter 17. We overhear this heartfelt prayer of Jesus for his friends. And how they needed their Lord and his prayers that night and over those coming days, because their world was about to be shaken. The events of that night and of Good Friday would tear them apart and test their faith to the very limits. They needed Jesus. They needed his prayers that night. Now, fast forward to the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus Christ has ascended on high and reigns on the throne of the universe. Crowned with glory and honor, he has won the victory. This morning, I bring you good news with this message. Just as Jesus prayed for his disciples in that upper room, so the risen and exalted Lord Jesus prays for you today. He prays for you today. And I want to explore this morning the context of his prayer for you and the content of his prayer for you. Firstly, the context of his prayer. Prayer is not just what you say to God, what you say to Jesus. It's not all one-way traffic. Prayer doesn't only happen for you when you remember to pray. Yes, in prayer you approach God for others in their need and for yourself. But today we remember that firstly, before you pray to Jesus, Jesus is already praying for you and praying for those situations and others on your heart. Isn't that a wonderful thought? A wonderful promise? Such is his great love for you. And it's a promise that's rooted in Scripture. The writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews 7, verse 25, writes this: Jesus is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to make intercession for them. And Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, proclaims, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding, praying for us. Let's take hold of that for our lives this morning. Jesus Christ, risen and glorified, yet still fully human, is our great high priest. He sat down at the right hand of the Father in the throne room of heaven. This is the context of his prayer for you. The Christian writer Eugene Peterson put it like this when he wrote, Jesus is our companion in prayer. He says to us, I'll pray for you, and does it. His promise to pray for us is not lost or overlooked in a vast heavenly clutter of petitions and intercessions, confessions and thanksgivings, ascending in a cloud of incense to his altar. It defeats our imagination to understand how this takes place, but we have it on good authority that it does. He continues, Jesus prays. He is praying for us right now. He was praying for us yesterday. He will be praying for us tonight as we sleep and tomorrow morning as we wake up. Jesus praying for us is a current event. You don't think you know how to pray? Yes, there is so much to learn. Meanwhile, Jesus is praying for you. You don't feel like praying? Relax. Feelings come and go. Meanwhile, Jesus is praying for you. You don't have time to pray. Jesus doesn't mind waiting. Meanwhile, he has plenty of time to pray for you. End of quote. So be reassured this morning that Jesus and the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in divine activity are praying for you. Now and always. What an amazing promise. What an amazing reality to encourage us all this morning. And you know, Jesus the Son doesn't plead to a reluctant father. That's not what's going on. But rather, through Jesus, our mediator, our go-between, we have full access to our Father God. We can touch the throne of grace in our time of need. That is the context of his prayer for you. And secondly, let us address the content of his prayer for you. And I want to put it simply. What Jesus prays for one, he prays for all believers. What Jesus prays for one, he prays for all. His prayer is personal, yet it is communal. It is for all believers. There is unity and harmony in his great intercession. And the content of his prayer is found here in John chapter 17. You see, those disciples were individuals with different needs, just as we are. But Jesus' prayer was for them all. And he prays three things in the selected verses that we heard from John 17. Firstly, he prays, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, so that they may be one." Protect them by the power of your name, so that they may be one. By the power of your name. Think of the names of God, the titles of God. We sang some of them this morning in our opening song, didn't we? And there, in that song, there's about 40 reasons to get up this morning, to come to church. The Lord is my wonderful counselor, my teacher, reminder, revealer, my healer, my strengthener, repairer, refiner, forerunner and finisher, my conqueror, deliverer, restorer, my hammer, my fire, uniter, redeemer, creator, defender. He is the Lord, my maker, instructor, my warrior, my shelter, my leader, my shepherd, my refresher, my rewarder, my protector, my inspirer, my portion, forever my Jesus, my Savior, my wonderful God. God has a name for every circumstance that you will find yourself in. And that's a wonderful truth. You are protected from evil and sin by the power of his name. And our Christian unity in the church is protected by the power of his name. So remember his protection over you this morning. And then, secondly, Jesus prays, "May they have the full measure of my joy within them." The full measure of my joy. What is the measure of your joy this morning? What is your capacity for joy today? In her book, Jesus, Man of Prayer, Sister Margaret Magdalene observes, "Strangely, most of us can cope with far less joy than suffering." Think about that. Most of us can cope with far less joy than suffering. Maybe it's a British weakness. And how do you cope with joy in others? The 19th century Cornish evangelist Billy Bray was renowned for his unrelenting, indefatigable joy and zeal for God. And he was once asked, "Why can't you worship the Lord without making so much noise?" And he replied, "It's not my fault. If a person above were to pour water into a basin already full, and it was splashing all about, you would not blame the basin. You would tell the person to stop pouring the water. I am only the vessel. My heavenly Father is pouring down the water of life freely. And if you can't bear it, call to him not to pour so much. Jesus prays for you. May they have the full measure of my joy within them. If you need the joy of the Lord this morning, there is a fountain for you. It will bubble up within your life. It will overflow. Receive the fullness of his joy this morning. Drink deep of his life. And thirdly, Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth. When the disciples were about to fall apart, Jesus reminded them in this prayer that they were set apart. They had been chosen to carry on the good work that Jesus began. That very night, Judas would betray him. Peter would deny him. And the disciples would be scattered. How they needed, as a group, to be made holy, to be sanctified. What about you and me this morning? With those disciples, we also have been consecrated. We have been chosen, set apart. Not because of anything in us that we're worthy of that, but simply because God has chosen us to serve him, to be his witnesses. And you also are being made holy for the Lord. We all stand in need of grace and forgiveness this morning. We look again to the cross, and in bread and wine, we will remember again the power that is there for us to be made clean. Because of the blood of Jesus that underwrites all his prayers, that pays for all his prayers, because of the blood of Jesus, there is no barrier between us and God. Jesus has opened up a new and living way. God's cleansing and purifying work is going on in your life and mine. You are to live your life in accordance with the truth, that your life may honor his name. And you are a channel of blessing and prayer for others. And that's important. Knowing how Jesus prays for us helps us in our prayers for others. It's a channel that flows freely. You join your prayers to the prayers of Jesus today. So as I close, be encouraged to persevere in prayer, knowing that Jesus is your companion. In this new week ahead, in all situations, remember the context of his prayer. Heaven's throne room is open. And in all you encounter, remember the content of his prayer for you. Protection, joy, holiness. Jesus prays for you today. Glory to his name. Amen.